You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Stephen A. Smith, Shannon Sharp on the West Coast. Hello, fellas. Dan Orlovsky will be here in just a moment. How we feel? Well, heck of a game, guys, last night. We all wanted a good Super Bowl, and we got it.
Got a great one. First half wasn't that interesting, but that second half and that fourth quarter in overtime was
no question about it, but I give him credit where credit is due. The game was tight throughout, so that's what you want. Yeah.
I think they were tight throughout.
That's a good point.
All right, let's get into it, fellas. So the Kansas City Chiefs are world champions following their 25-22 overtime win over the Niners. This year meant even more, not because the tight game or the OT, but the adversity. Patrick, Travis, the floor is yours.
It's the most special one I think I've ever gotten.
Ever.
I mean, just
really?
To battle through ever. That adversity
yeah.
and then to come through that and be better on the other side.
Pat Mahomes can't play on the road.
Yeah.
Pat, we got to go up against the juggernaut of the MVP
yeah.
and Baltimore Raiders.
Actually,
we heard it all, baby. All we did was just circle those wagons.
There you go.
Okay. That
fire me up, baby.
Do you guys have to be down by 10 all the time? Is that the deal?
I like to just get –
Just like you like it, right?
If you get down 10 –
Like a free goal lead in hockey, baby.
If you get down 10 – It wakes us up just a little bit. It kind of gives us that spark that we need. And we can make it easier sometimes. But I mean, what's the fun in that?
Patrick Mahomes is putting himself firmly in the GOAT conversation. He now has 3 Super Bowls, 2 regular season MVPs. Only Tom Brady and Joe Montana have done that in NFL history. And Mahomes has done it before turning 29. Years old. All right, now we welcome in my guy, Dan Orlovsky. Good to see you, sir. How are
you doing? Good morning. I'm fantastic. How are you guys?
Excellent. Shannon, I'll start with you. Did Mahomes prove he's the GOAT with that performance last night?
No, he just proved he's the best quarterback currently playing in the league, and it's not close. The gap between 1 and 2 with Patrick Mahomes is greater than the distance between 2 and 5. So let that sink in. Yes, the distance between 1 and 2, the best quarterback in the league, which is Patrick Mahomes, and whomever you believe to be number 2, there's a bigger gap between 1 and 2 than there is 2 and 5. And you look at what he's done, 333 yards passing, 2 touchdowns, 1 of 5 quarterbacks that has at least one of 5 quarterbacks in the league, 3 Super Bowls, Brady, Montana, Bradshaw, and Troy Aikman.
Yep.
And only Aikman and Mahomes had it before their 30th birthday.
Yep.
It's how he does it, guys. Mm-hmm. I think, D.O., when you played the position and me playing in the league and Stephen A., you following the game, it's how he does it. We Ash tracked down this stat. In playoff games, down by 7 or more in the Patrick Mahomes era, the Chiefs are 9-2 in the postseason. The next best quarterback since 1950 is Tom Brady at 10-11.
Yeah.
He's 7 games over 500, and everybody else is under 500. He's the best. We can put that to bed, but it's how he does it. It seems like when the moment gets at his greatest, at his apex, he's able to relax a lot like Brady. And I'm saying, Dio, we talked about this. And Stephen and I talked about this early in the postseason.
Sure.
When you have the momentum, you better put as much separation as you possibly can between you and the team that you have the momentum against, because they're going to get the momentum. And when they get it, if you haven't put enough separation between them, you're going to be in trouble. And that's what happened last night. In that first half, the 49ers, instead of being up 10-3 or whatever they were, 10-3, I think, they needed to be up 17-3. They needed to be up 20-3 because you had so much momentum, and it seemed like everything, 3 and out. And the one drive that it seemed like the Kansas City was going to put it together, Pacheco fumbled the football. But for me, I am not going to be a prisoner of a moment, and because I believe that Patrick Mahomes, what he did last night was sensational. But he's not the GOAT currently. He's just the best quarterback in the league, and there's a greater distance between him and 2 than 2 and 5.
Go ahead, DL.
Patrick Mahomes is the best player I've ever seen. Now, greatest of all time is still Tom Brady. I have been adamant about that. Just because of the way that we have the conversation. He's going to have to get to five. I have said that since he won his first one. He gets to five and continues to play on the trajectory that he is. He's going to be very much so in that conversation with Tom. Tom is still that guy, but he's the best player I've ever seen. I think, Shannon, for me, Stephen A. Molly, he's the guy that defies all the logic. You just rolled off some stats, Shannon, about what his record is in the playoffs and then down 10 or whatnot. The most fascinating aspect of it for me is he continues, like he's in that world, Shannon, you know greatness better than I do, but he's in that world where like now it's, we're going to find questions about him. We're going to nitpick all the things. Trade away Tyreek Hill, probably can't win without him, does that, and then now he's got to go on the road.
Two.
They want on the road versus the number two, the number three, the number four, and the number six ranked offenses in the NFL and beat them all. Now, part of that is the credit to the defense. I think they win the Super Bowl. I've said that all morning. They win the Super Bowl because the defense.
Yes.
But if you think back to that fourth and one play last night, we were in the booth, me, Chris Fowler, and Lewis Riddick calling it for Australia. And Fowler goes, hey, what's the call here? And I was like, gosh, I don't know. And Lewis goes, just put the ball in Patrick's hands. And I'm thinking, yeah, fourth and one, shotgun. Certainly. They go out, fourth and one, shotgun, and he makes the right decision. And that's a triple option in many ways. And then if you think about the third and one scramble, you know, again, third and one, let's run the football. Let's go get a conversion. He puts his foot in the ground and goes and gets the run. And the crazy thing, the game winner to Mecole Hardman last night, guys, that ball snapped with like 8 seconds left on the clock. If they don't make, let's say for some reason he runs and is short or whatnot, or he runs around, there's a chance that, you know, they don't even get a field goal off. So you're talking about in the moment, again, just, you know, everybody else coach-wise call a timeout and they just trust him. And what's happened with him, guys, is he came into the league as a phenom and he has now transitioned into a savant. He's the best player I've ever seen. You have my word. I'm no longer going to say anybody plays like Patrick Mahomes. I'm not doing it. He's one of one. Tom Brady's still the GOAT. He's got to get to five, but he's the best player I've ever witnessed.
Well, I think y'all going on an overview or perspective. I don't disagree with anything either of y'all have said, but I think that we got to compartmentalize and answer the question directly. Did last night prove anything? No. It proved he's great. It proved what he is, what we all thought he was.
Prove what we knew, huh?
We've seen Tom Brady do that before.
Yes.
We've seen Joe Montana do that before.
Correct.
And so when we look at it from that perspective, we have to take that into account. I will remind you that great Joe Montana is 4-0 in Super Bowls with a 27.8 passer rating. Okay? We've seen him. By the way, think about this for a second. And there's a number that I want to throw out to you, D.O., because I think that you, or a stat that I want to throw out to you, because I think you'll greatly, greatly appreciate what I'm about to say. Do you know of Joe Montana? You too. Joe Montana's four Super Bowls. Do you know three of those Super Bowls came against the resident regular season MVP? Mm-hmm. Kenny Anderson in Cincinnati, Dan Marino, and Boomer Esiason. Mm-hmm. They were all regular season MVPs. Joe Montana beat them. And the one other person that he beat was John Elway, who's a Hall of Famer.
Who's also an MVP.
There we go. So we're talking about Joe Montana here. So yeah. When we're talking about the GOAT, the greatest of all time, we can have that debate for another day, even though I look at it from the totality standpoint and say, excuse me, look at the resume or whatever. What we saw from Patrick Mahomes last night was absolutely sensational when it counted most completed 70% of his passes in the second half with the two touchdowns and what have you. Last two postseasons, 7-0 record, 70% completion, 13 touchdowns, just one interception. These are phenomenal, phenomenal things. But when we talk about the GOAT, the greatest of all time, what we're looking at is a talent that we haven't seen from that quarterback position. I thought it was Aaron Rodgers, obviously, until he came along. Then he comes along and you see something totally different. Mad love and respect to him for that. But in the end, what it comes down to is when you look at it, yesterday, for three quarters essentially, they were struggling offensively.
Yes.
He came on strong. He showed what he's capable of doing. He's reminded us of greatness, mm-hmm. okay? And he deserves mad credit for that. The best talent we've ever seen at the position. But in terms of GOAT status overall, a little bit of longevity comes into play. Don't go the next decade without a Super Bowl championship like Brady did.
But maybe the best of all time.
Yes.
But if you look at what he did last night, it's very similar to what he did last year. Possession. Score, 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 score. Remember last year, Dio, he got touchdown, 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 field goal, game. Score, 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 score. He has to do that. Mm-hmm. And if you look at what they're doing, and the 49ers are playing unbelievable. They're getting after him with four. They're pressuring him. And I was like, oh, here we go again. All of a sudden, the offensive line is not holding up like it had did in the previous three postseason games. Yeah. But when you just look at him and what he's able to do, the way he's able to remain calm. And granted, the defense played unbelievable last night. They've been unbelievable. That's why they've been able to go on the road and do what they've done. Mm-hmm. It's because of that defense. But the same way with Brady, the defense would hold you in. Okay, Tom, go beat Tom Brady. Now we ask the very same of Patrick Mahomes, and he doesn't disappoint. I
can't say enough about it.
Yeah. We can talk about Brady. We can say Joe. But not at this age. He's right. So far ahead of where they were at this age. That's what we're talking about. They've been great pianists, but when we see a guy that can play Chopin and play these great classic songs at 10, now that's a whole different ball game. He's only 28 with three Super Bowl MVPs, three and two regular season MVPs, and two 5,000-yard passing seasons, and he's 28. That's what separates him at this age compared to everyone else.
It's the best start. It's the best start in sports history.
Okay,
it's him or Tiger Woods in that conversation. Shannon, you just talked about it. The calmness. Again, we were in the stadium last night. They were shell shocked early on in that football game. Shell shocked. If you watched, the defense was able to run off on and off the field. Nothing from the offense. It looked like the offense was just trying to get through the game, candidly, in the first half. Didn't look that way from Patrick. Patrick never flinched. He never blinked, even after he throws that third quarter interception. This is why, Stephen A., I do think last night he proved something different than what we had seen. Again, he came in and it was this physical phenom. Last night was about game managing. Last night was about the mind. Mm. Multiple checks at the line of scrimmage. The decision-making, it was, Stephen. He checks two times on third downs the plays where he changes his at the line, both in the end of fourth quarter drive for the field goal and the game-winning drive. To understand the context of their season, guys, matters here. They didn't have a 1,000-yard wide receiver. They didn't have a 1,000-yard rusher. They led the NFL in drops. They led the NFL in offensive penalties. And they're Super Bowl champions. They were 2-3 in the month of December. I think week 16 or week 17, they got dump trucked by the Raiders.
They did.
To go, I mean, this is a different Super Bowl win. The journey, and also last night, again, to be down by 10 to a team that had controlled the football game.
Well, I mean, they loaded.
That's
last word here, guys.
I would say this to you. Fair enough. But I would like to remind y'all that in the four Super Bowl appearances Patrick Mahomes has had, they've been down 10 points each game. In other words, it's a comeback. Like, I understand as you dissect it, you're seeing things that most people wouldn't see, Dio, and you too, Shannon. Mm-hmm. But from an overview perspective, we saw a 10-point deficit in every single Super Bowl he has been in. So he has found a way to come back, but it's almost a routine. What you're highlighting last night is you dissected. What you're saying is so different. We're saying, excuse me, Tampa, because you got blown out in that one, but against Philadelphia, against San Francisco before that, you were down 10 in those games as well. You came back against them, so it was not a surprise that you did it again yesterday.
Molly, can I get 2 points in?
The
question is that, remember, when other teams had the momentum, you mentioned, Dan, how the offense was the defense was running on and off the field, and the offense couldn't get it going. That's the opportunity for your team to put even more separation. But I got a question for you, Stephen A., and I want to know, Patrick Mahomes go get a three-peat. Not what you talking.
Nothing.
Oh, man, stop it. That's not what you did for Michael Jordan. You said a three-peat was what made him the GOAT. That's what you said right up here.
Hold on. I'm saying that. I'm confirming what you're saying. You're not listening to me. I'm saying I have nothing to say if Patrick Mahomes wins three straight. So, but don't you point at me as if you got a case to make against Michael Jordan.
That's what you told me. Jordan and Kobe were made them greater because they three-peated.
That's right.
Now I'm asking you the same thing.
And I'm saying if Patrick Mahomes three-peats, he'd go like Dunlop. Yes, I'd have to.
Okay. I'm sorry about it. I'm sorry. Stephen, they brought that out of me.
We know LeBron ain't three-peat.
There you go. See, there you go.
We know that.
Yes.
Stephen A, your earpiece working?
I know. Yes, Stephen A, your earpiece working? No. I love that question, but I have something for you coming up on that subject.
Okay, my bad. I'm sorry.
I want to lean into that, and it's going to be great, so people stick around for it. Just not yet, so work with me here, guys. By the way, I just want to mention, that was only the second time in Super Bowl history we had an OT game.
Kyle was part of the first one against New England.
Yeah.
That's right.
So it was a treat.
That's what makes the decision at the end.
And he made the same mistake.
See, people don't even know. They don't even know. Same page. I see you.
Let's do this like they did.
See you. All right, the 49ers.
Why is Molly sleeveless in the wintertime?
I don't know.
Sleeveless in the
guns wintertime. Guns out, guns out.
Just putting the guns out. What's up with that?
Guys, can you just let me live?
We can't. No, we're not going to let you live.
Oh, God, this is so awkward. And now I'm getting a solo shot of my outfit?
In the wintertime.
Okay, can I get off camera and go to sound? The 49ers had a legacy-changing decision to make following the flip of a coin, taking the ball in OT under the new rules where both teams, I love you, you're in my shot. Could you pop in again? Are guaranteed a possession. So did they make the wrong decision? The analytics didn't say so. Dan with the photo bomb.
This is something we talked about with, you know, none of us have a ton of experience of it, but we went through all the analytics and talked with those guys, and we just thought it'd be better. We wanted the ball third. If both teams matched and scored, we wanted to be the ones who had the chance to go win, and we got that field goal, so we knew we had to hold them to at least to a field goal, and if we did, then we felt it was in our hands after that.
I didn't even know about the new playoff overtime rule, so it was a surprise to me. I didn't even really even know what was going on in terms of that. They put on the scoreboard, and everyone was like, oh, even if you score, they get a chance still. So.
Did the coaching staff ever approach that at all this week, letting you guys know that if there is a time when it goes to OT, like, these rules are different?
I wasn't aware of it.
You know what? I didn't even realize that the playoff rules were different in overtime. So I assumed you just want the ball because you score a touchdown and win. But I guess that's not the case. So I don't totally know the strategy there.
Something you guys have talked about?
No. We haven't talked about it, no.
Okay. I'm coming to you on this one, Shannon. This was a little surprising for me to hear the Niners players admitting they didn't even know the OT rules. Can you break that down for me?
No, and I would have never admitted that publicly.
Right.
Just they changed the rules a couple of years ago because everybody felt that whoever got the ball between the Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, that's what who was going to win the game. And so the NFL, because it used to be sudden death, any score in overtime, the first two score, the game was over. But they say, you know what? It doesn't seem fair. Now, if you kick a field goal, you don't win. We're going to give the other team a possession. And then Patrick Mahomes comes back. He gets in field goal range in 13 seconds. They get the ball in overtime, and they win. And the NFL says, you know what? Patrick Mahomes is so good, we want everybody to have a possession. You know, this is elementary school. So everybody should get an award. Everybody should participate in the overtime. And you didn't know that? Even if you, yes, that been a rule. Everybody should know that. Come on, guys.
Yeah.
But you didn't score a touchdown, so it didn't even matter. You're talking about if you had scored.
Right.
Doesn't matter. You didn't score. I like the ball second because, you know, D.O., I want to know what I need. And guess what? I get an extra down because I get to go for it on fourth down if I didn't get it on third down. And see, that was the difference. Because
and if you scored, two-point conversion as well. Yeah.
And exactly. Yeah. Because Kyle Shanahan, he took the field goal. But had he needed a touchdown, he's going for it. So I would have because the game doesn't end if I score a touchdown. Mm-hmm. It's not like the old rules in regulation. Mm-hmm. In regulation, you score a touchdown, game's over. But in the postseason, everybody's going to get a possession. So scoring first does not matter. Mm-hmm. I would have deferred because I need to know what Patrick Mahomes did. And so now I get an opportunity to either match or exceed what he did.
I will say number one, this particular situation is a smear on the entire organization.
It is.
And let me tell you why. Number one, you're the coach, Kyle Shanahan. It's your job to make sure you articulate what the situation is, that your players know all the rules they need to know. That's number one. Number two, hold the players accountable. Last time I checked, you can read.
Yes.
You understand? You're playing the game. This is your profession. How in God's name are you going to be post-game at the Super Bowl and talk about you weren't even aware of the circumstances of an overtime game when it's a Super Bowl championship yes. on the line? It just goes to show that folks were asleep at the wheel, at least to some degree. They certainly didn't play that way, especially defensively, because I give them a lot of credit where credit is due. But nevertheless, you cannot have a situation where you're admitting post-Super Bowl that you didn't even know the rules that pertain to overtime. Overtime is sudden death. Overtime is everything is on the line right now. And it's the Super Bowl championship that's on the line. And you're literally saying you weren't aware of it. That is just embarrassing. And that is a negligence of duty.
No, no. It's not sudden death because everybody it was sudden death in regulation.
Right.
You score a touchdown, right. you win the game. Understood. But the postseason. Wild card, divisional, wild championship game, and right. Super Bowl. Both teams will possess the right. football.
I didn't mean it in its literal sense. You're totally right.
Right.
I'm just talking about
yeah.
the urgency of the moment
yeah.
is there. It's flagrant. You cannot be in a situation like that saying you didn't
right.
know the rules.
It's basically college
Dan,
football.
Dan,
you know
I want
college
you
football, everybody gets a possession.
Hold up. I want to get Dan in here, guys. I want you to react to both in terms of what do you think of the players not knowing the rules? And then also, do you think it was a mistake by Shanahan to take the ball first in OT?
Absolutely a mistake by Kyle. Really, two mistakes. Players not knowing the rules. So here's my thought on that. For a team that unquestionably knew it was going to be playing in January in playoff games, and certainly a decent chance to get to the Super Bowl, for them to not be in totality prepared for any and everything is a disadvantage. And I'm shocked that Kyle, who I think the world of and who was in an overtime Super Bowl, didn't have that team prepared, at least for the knowledge of it. And the fact that those are veteran players. Juszczyk has been around forever and Armstead has been around forever. So for that organization and for that team to not know, mistake. The decision, when it happened, and they took the football, immediately I was like, that's a mistake. Couple reasons why. Number one, you're giving the other team an advantage of one more down. And not only the other team, you give Patrick Mahomes another down. Two, it changes the way that you and they make play calls. If Kansas City had the ball first and they got to that fourth and one, with the way their defense was playing, they would have punted the football. They did a little bit earlier in this, I think, the third or fourth quarter in their own, backed up in their own territory. But
yes.
What happens is you give them the opportunity to know, you've made the choice for me. I get to play with four downs now.
Correct.
That affects my second down play call. That affects my third down play call because I know I have another chance on fourth down. If Kyle wanted to take, because I heard Kyle say, well, it was the analytics. We wanted to get the ball third, thinking they score or we score, they score. We have then the chance to go win the football game. Then go for it on fourth down. Don't kick the field goal. If the whole thought process was, let's go be aggressive, then go for it on fourth and goal. And again, that changes your second day, right, Shannon? Like if you
yes.
if you want to, it's going to
sure.
change the second down play call. It might
third
change
down,
the
absolutely.
Third down play call.
Mm-hmm.
So I just think it was a mistake to sit there and this goes back to a little bit of the Dan Campbell thing for me, guys, when it was like, should he kick the field goal or not?
Correct.
You got to know who you're going against.
Right.
Remember, guys, at the end of the game, Patrick marched right down the field.
Got a field.
And San Francisco didn't stop them. Kansas City ran out of time. So you knew your defense was reeling at that moment. That's why
right.
I think it's the mistake to give them four downs.
Because the thing is, Stephen A., is that you call a play on third down
okay.
knowing that you got fourth down as an
correct.
Option.
Okay.
Correct.
But the biggest mistake, let's get to the meat and potatoes. The biggest mistake was having Brock Purdy throw the ball as more double than what Christian McCaffrey ran it. That was your mistake, Dio. You didn't want to mention that. You got Brock Purdy throwing the ball 40 times, but you got Christian McCaffrey running it 20 times. Your best player on offense is Christian McCaffrey.
That's fantastic.
And you
Shannon,
put the ball –
Okay, we're going to get into that
bad.
Next
Ooh,
block.
Okay, my bad.
No,
you trying to light it up,
no,
Shannon? You
no,
trying to light it up?
No.
We got
Shannon,
time for that one.
Shannon, you keep getting
one.
Hot on all this stuff, and I feel awful like killing your momentum, but I promise you, this
okay.
next block, we're
okay.
getting to it.
Let's
just get in this quick commercial break, but I love your energy.
Let's go.
Hey, hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Long before Coco Gauff, Francis Tiafoe, Naomi Osaka, and Christopher Eubanks, two names, Althea Gibson and Arthur Ashe, defined the archetype of a black tennis star. In 1956, Gibson emerged as the first ever African-American to win a Grand Slam tennis title. And by 1975, Ashe became the first black man to win both the U.S. Open and Wimbledon. So put some respect on their names, because Althea and Arthur set the stage for Venus and Serena to a new age of black players in tennis today.
Legends right there. Brock Purdy was trying to be legendary. He was 3 points away from making history as the only quarterback drafted as Mr. Irrelevant to win the Super Bowl, unfortunately for Niners fans. The burgeoning GOAT took the crown again. That would be Patrick Mahomes. Purdy played well, but there's no consolation prize in the Super Bowl.
I mean, a lot of guys are quiet. I mean, a lot of guys are still quiet right now. Not a lot has been said. It just hurts. You know, we have the team, obviously, to do it, to win the whole thing, and come up short like that. You know, the way things have been the last couple of years here, everyone wanted it so bad. So I think we're still trying to sort of gather, you know, our thoughts and everything right now. But everyone in that locker room loves each other, I tell you that.
Ugh, heartbreaking. Shannon, tell me this. Did Purdy prove he's a top quarterback to you yesterday?
I got more questions.
Oh, my gosh.
Because he just said, what did he say, Stephen A? We had the team to win the Super Bowl. You had a 10-point lead. 3 of 12 on third down, 25%. And I told you, Dio, oh, he's going to silence all the critics. Oh, all this goes away. I said, Dio, if he doesn't win this game, you will still have more questions about Brock Purdy. And with that team, no excuses. You had Debo. You had Ayuk. You had C-Mac. You had Trent Williams. You had everything George that you needed. Because let me ask you a question. If I put Patrick Mahomes on San Francisco, how many championships do they win, D.O.? If I gave him that roster. Don't do this.
Mahomes.
Whoa. With that roster? If I give Josh Allen that roster, if I give Lamar Jackson, if I give Joe Burrow that roster, because that's what you're saying. That's what, no. You're saying he's top. So how? What's top? Top 10? Top 12? Top what? Top
He's firmly top 10. Brock Purdy is firmly a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. He's absolutely played himself in the top 7 conversation.
I mean, I can rattle off 7-8 names off the top of my head that I would take instead of him. And if I put those guys in that same offense, they would be better than him. That's just me. I think there's still questions about the shouldn't say greatness, but I still have. He didn't silence all, but he had done a great job against Green Bay coming from behind. He did a great job against San Francisco. But, Dio, you know how this works. When you got that roster, you got to close the deal. I still have questions, and I'm sorry if you don't, that he's answered all your questions. He's checked all the boxes, but he hasn't for me.
Let me say this, Dio. Do you want to chime in, Dio? You want me to go first?
Go ahead, Stephen. Go ahead. Yes, sir.
Listen. I thought Purdy did a good job. Was he great? No. Was he Patrick Mahomes? Hell no. But he didn't wet the bed. He didn't choke or anything like that. So I give him credit where credit is due. I thought that he did a good job. Here's to me. I think there's more questions about Kyle Shanahan than there are about Brock Purdy. I'm wondering how the hell could George Kittle have 2 catches for 4 yards? I'm wondering, like you brought up, Shannon, before you almost lost it, because Christian McCaffrey, you running the football half the time as much as you're throwing it. When you got Christian McCaffrey, who was clearly an absolute stud, leading the team in both rushing and receiving yards yesterday. How do you not get this brother the ball significantly more? I'm thinking about that as well. When I look at Purdy, I'm looking at, in fact, 6 of 17 passing, just 35% for 82 yards with no touchdowns when targeting Deebo Samuel. And Brandon Ayuk. To me, that's just the latest excuse as to why you should have been looking at C-Mac a little bit more. I'm just wondering about that when it comes to Shanahan, not necessarily Purdy. And I'm just looking at it from that, and I'm saying to myself, Purdy did a good job. I didn't think that he was bad at all. I thought that he made some plays. I thought that he got the, when he did get the ball to C-Mac, obviously good things happened. And again, I'm going to repeat myself. He didn't wet the bed. He wasn't bad at all. It's just that he was not Patrick Mahomes. That's the knock against him. That's all you could say in this particular game. He was not Patrick Mahomes.
I still have questions, and I think most people would.
You guys, I don't know if I've been more flabbergasted by your guys' feelings. Okay. I'm not acting here. This isn't like I'm being very genuine here. First of all, McCaffrey had 30 touches. How many do we want? 40? He had 30 touches.
If necessary.
Touches.
It's the Super Bowl, if necessary.
He had 30 touches.
How many rushes?
22 or 23, something like that. I mean, he only had 80 yards rushing, Shannon. Kansas City's defense had done a tremendous job of minimizing their success. You talk about third down and the performance by the quarterback on third down. Kansas City's got one of the best third down defenses in football. That's why I told everybody for the 2 weeks, if San Francisco doesn't win first down, they're not going to be that good on offense. Brock Purdy was freaking awesome yesterday. It wasn't that awesome. He didn't wet the bed. He was awesome.
The
questions, what question? So you mean to tell me, Shannon, that you still have questions because he lost to the best player on the planet in the midst of a dynasty on the final play of the game?
He lost to the best player on the planet with the best team on the planet. Yes, that's why I have questions. Because guess what? Don't tell me. What about that third down? Hold on. What about that on 3rd and 5 with 2 minutes left in the ballgame in the fourth quarter? And he missed that throw. He missed the earlier throw to Deebo in the end zone. Remember, I said
that's because of Chris Jones. That's because of Chris Jones was on his neck.
His
neck.
How many times have we seen quarterbacks look down the gun barrel and make that throw? You got to make that throw in that moment if you want to be that guy.
Shannon, you know this. He's got one of the best pass-rushing defensive tackles in football on his neck. That's what happens. Chris Jones saved 3 touchdowns yesterday. It can't just be the quarterback didn't play well. You have to give some credit to the defense, Shannon. Come on.
Whoa. Now we're crediting the defense. Now we so that's what we do it. So let me ask you a question. On third down, what is the 49ers defense rank? Because you make it seem like that Patrick was going against air.
No, the 49ers defense on third down was not a good defense. They weren't statistically high at all this year. I mean, their pass rush was like 20th or something. They played awesome yesterday, but their here's my thing, Shannon, because you rattled off some of the names. Yesterday's game, Brock Purdy's QBR in that game was a 70 yesterday. Lamar, who is the MVP of the NFL, Josh Allen, who is unquestionably a top three quarterback, and Tua, their quarterback, their QBR this year in the playoffs against that defense was 43. Brock's was 70. Okay, those three guys versus pressure in these playoffs, Lamar, Josh Allen, and Tua, versus that defense when they blitz, their QBR was a 6. Brock's was a 75. Oh, there's no way.
I'm about to call you Ocho Dio. Dio, it's about moments. And I told you, I said he's going to – if you go back and look at the games in which Patrick Mahomes has lost in the playoffs –
yes, sir.
With the exception of the AFC Championship game, his first time, the quarterbacks have outplayed him. Sure. Joe Burrow outplayed him in the AFC Championship game when he went to Arrowhead and he beat him. Tom Brady outplayed him in the Super Bowl. If you're going to rely on your auxiliary pieces, if you think your defense is going to beat that guy, your quarterback, and I know that they're not on the field at the same time, but you got to outplay him. You got to beat him, and you got to make throws that you don't customarily. It's the Super Bowl, D.O.
Shannon, if we are going to sit here and say that if he doesn't outplay Brock Purdy, then we have, or excuse me, if he doesn't outplay Patrick Mahomes, then we have questions, then we can't have a conversation about
it
anymore.
He has to make throws. It comes down, if they throw here or there, that's the difference.
I can't walk away from that game thinking Brock Purdy was okay or good. He was fantastic. I thought if you went into that game, Shane,
he was really good.
He had the best team, D.O.
Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you a question. If we went into that game and we told you that San Francisco would average, or Christian McCaffrey would average, I think less than 3 yards a carry, or less than 4 yards a carry, somewhere in the threes. You think that game goes to overtime?
See, you're looking at it from like Christian McCaffrey didn't run hog wild. But when Christian McCaffrey has the ball up under his arm, guess where Patrick Mahomes is?
On the sideline.
Exactly! And that's what you want!
Huh? But what's that have to do with Brock Purdy?
But that's what I'm saying. I trust Christian McCaffrey more than I trust Brock Purdy, to make a long story short, and I made a short story long, and I apologize.
I don't understand how going against a defense that had that defense skunked Lamar Jackson.
It's not the steel curtain of the 85 Bears.
Let me try it here. Dan Orlovsky, somebody needs to say it, so I'm going to say it to you. I have never encountered an analyst in my life that exhausts himself as much as you do trying to protect the quarterback. You are unreal. You do a better job than most offensive linemen.
Yeah!
Quarterback. It's like, listen, I understand that I said Brock Purdy did not wet the bed. He was pretty damn good. This is the same quarterback that went in the playoffs, and you're talking about a guy, this man went 6-0 in beating all six of the other NFC playoff teams this year. This is what he did. I get it. But when he went up against Patrick Mahomes, as Shannon said, when you look at C-Mac, when you look at Ayuk, when you look at Debo, when you look at Kittle, when you look at Kyle Shanahan, boy genius, calling plays all the damn time, and you combine all of that with having a 10-point lead, yes, when Patrick Mahomes is on the field, he can do damage. The one time you are assured of him not being able to do damage is when he is on the sideline. And so the fact that you couldn't stop the bleeding per se when you had a 10-point lead and you couldn't sit up there and take advantage of it to a point where you put things beyond Patrick Mahomes' reach, you are culpable to some degree. It's not your fault. We're not looking at Brock Purdy and saying he doesn't deserve to be a starting NFL quarterback, that he's not pretty damn good, if not tinkering towards great, that he can't be the franchise quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers moving forward. We're certainly not saying he doesn't deserve his bag, because as Mr. Irrelevant, you don't have any money yet compared to what you're going to get. What we're saying is, on the biggest stage against a brother who is the biggest dude on the block, you had a 10-point lead with what was supposed to be a better team, and you didn't close the deal. There's culpability there for you,
but
too.
For to
That's
Dan's
all I'm saying.
Defense, though, defending quarterbacks, you did play quarterback in the league for how many years?
Well,
you might have a different perspective.
Well, because everybody in our world, it's been like this. Tom Brady was the greatest. Everybody else wasn't good enough. And now it's Patrick's the greatest, and if you're not Patrick, you're not good enough. And it's just, that's so unfair.
Well, here's a question. Steve, let me go to you then, okay?
The objective is to win the Super Bowl. Certainly, there are teams that obviously stink, right? There are teams that stink. And so they don't have a snowball's chance in hell of even being participants. And we will dismiss those. But when you're an elite team and you're in a position to capture a Super Bowl championship, just because we're saying you didn't get it done doesn't mean we're saying you suck. It means that you didn't get it done. We're not saying this is here and everybody else is no good. We understand that Patrick Mahomes is on another level. You yourself have bloviated about the greatness of Patrick Mahomes and how you're not going to even mention anybody in the same sentence.
Finally.
But the bottom line is that he was at a 10-point deficit.
But Stephen,
and when Kansas City scores, you still get to come on the field and do what you can to negate him from getting the football back, if nothing else. Yeah. You are culpable to some degree. That's all I'm saying.
But
that's
you used the phrasing, well, he didn't wet the bed. We know what that intimates. That's not like, and Shannon's going, well, I still have questions.
What it intimates is that there are a bunch of other quarterbacks who have wet the bed. They did stink up the joint. And we're saying that's not Brock Purdy. He didn't do that. We're applauding him for it. But he still didn't measure
he
up
he was their best player yesterday
Mahomes
on offense.
When he needed to.
No, Christian
Purdy
McCaffrey
was their
was
best,
the best player
on offense yesterday.
Christian McCaffrey was. Let me ask you this. Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
In Tom Brady, 3 losses, did Eli twice and Nick Foles, did they outplay him? It's a simple question.
Yes. I mean, the Foles game, Brady was unbelievable in that game as well.
Did Nick Foles outplay him?
Sure.
Yes or no?
Sure.
Okay, then.
Yes. But
All right. We're going to have more on this later.
I mean, the guy played better than Lamar, Josh Allen, and Tua.
Do me a favor, keep that same energy in the second hour. All right?
I can't do it.
Maybe some of the West Coast folks don't want to miss out on this. They're just waking up.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Good day. Welcome back to First Take, coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Chase in New York City. Oh, I see Lady Liberty peeking out there in the back. All right, thanks for hanging with us. Got some quick takes. Let's get into it.
They're passionate players, man, and I love that. And even if they chest bumped me to the other side of the 50. I mean, I've I appreciate it. I just love that the guy wants to play and wants to be in there playing. And he knows I love that. So he makes me feel young.
I was just telling him how much I love him. I didn't care about my catches. I just wanted to. I wanted the score to be different. Coaches asked us to speak our minds, and I just wanted to let him know how much passion I had for this team.
All right, Shay, obviously winning cures everything, but when you saw Travis Kelce bump Andy Reid live in the second quarter, did you think it was something or nothing?
I didn't think it was anything, but I knew it's not a good look. And we saw something very similar when he threw his helmet and the equipment guy tried to give him the helmet back, and Andy said, heck no, he's not getting his helmet back. But, there's a very, very fine line. Me, personally, I hate this. And it doesn't matter if it's Travis Kelce, if it doesn't matter Tom Brady, or whomever the case may be. And I understand this is a very emotional game, and we're emotional men.
Right.
But, that's a fine line there, bro.
It's a bad look, no doubt about it. But I think people are entirely overreacting.
Okay.
It's the freaking Super Bowl. This is one of the greatest tight ends in the history of the game who sat by and watched his receivers drop 44 passes this year, even though he dropped a couple himself.
Yes.
But dropped a vast majority of the 44 passes this season. You are a Hall of Famer. You are already a two-time Super Bowl champion at the time. Okay. You're arguably the greatest tight end in the history of football. You're in that discussion along with him and others, because I'm saying that because you said that about him.
Oh, yeah.
And
I think you go.
One reception
for
1 yard. I don't want to hear anything from anybody. Let me tell you something right now. I don't advocate what he did. Please don't get me wrong. But anything short of that, up to that line, I don't blame him one bit. It's a Super Bowl championship. It ain't no regular season game.
Right.
It's Super Bowl. There is no tomorrow.
And I get what you're saying about George Kittle not having that many targets.
Right.
But you do have Debo, you do have Ayuk, and you have other weapons.
Right. In this case,
he's their weapon.
That's right.
And he said, bro, I got no target. I got one catch.
One catch for one yard.
And I can flip this, but hey. Go to my own, say, hey, 15, because that's what he called it, 1-5-15. Let me get that.
Yeah, but you also go to Andy Reid, too.
Yeah, hey.
And you go, again, don't hit him.
Yeah.
Don't shove him. Don't touch him.
But you get
coach, what are you doing? What are you doing? Get me the damn ball.
Guys,
let's just have a moment right now. A moment. My goodness. What did you think of the Usher concert last night? Because I was here for all of it.
I was caught up.
All right.
And I chose to have it my way.
You know, let me say this to you. I loved it.
Yeah.
Usher was fantastic.
Sensational.
Love seeing Alicia Keys. Yes, that's Alicia Keys right there. I love seeing her. Ludacris.
Yeah.
Her. All of that. I mean, all of that. It was a fantastic show. Now, obviously, when we compare it, we have to think of Prince. We have to think of Bruno Mars.
Yeah.
We have to think of Beyonce, Bruno Mars, and Coldplay together. And, of course, we got to think about Dr. Dre. Snoop Dogg, Mary J., Eminem, 50 Cent, Kendrick Lamar. I mean, this was fantastic. Make no mistake about it. Major, major, major props to Usher. But in the same breath, those others that I mentioned.
Well, the ladies liked Usher. The guy's been in the game for 30 years. You see how he could dance? Unreal.
It's fantastic. Yeah. He's phenomenal.
Yeah.
You sure you're not saying that because you took the picture?
You're a bit biased, Molly.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
we saw the pictures.
He's got a new album out, too. Yeah.
We saw the pictures,
don't
right?
Don't you worry. Once those ticket days, he's about to go on tour, I'm having a nice girls' night. It's going to be a nice girls' night. No men allowed. And we're going to enjoy it all.
We saw the pictures, Molly.
And we're going to go to the Usher concert. Yep.
Yeah, I saw him in residency. I took my daughter for her birthday. He's unbelievable.
Yes.
He's unreal, unbelievable.
Right?
Fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
Yes.
Without question.
Yeah.
I like her combat on
her. Yeah. Her's a bad. She got it going on. She knows she's very talented.
Oh, and how about her on the guitar? It was incredible.
Yes.
All right, we got to go to break. Good stuff. Coming up, guys.
That's what we were talking about.
That's exactly what we were talking about.
What? I never know with you two.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.